We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
What's happening, everybody? It's March 25th, Monday edition of Sports Talk. Going to go into the Jay Johnson Show coming up at 7 o'clock. Head coach had a rough weekend with the Tigers, losing 2 of 3 at home to Florida. Just was not a pretty outcome. Luckily, things have been much better for the Pelicans, who are off today. They are back in action tomorrow night, though. And so begins a 4 or 5-game homestand.
Six-game
homestand for the Pellies with 11 games left to play?
11 games left, six-game homestand. Once again, the Thunder, who are the number 2 seed in the West right now, then the top 2 seeds in the East with the Bucks and the Celtics back-to-back, and then you have the Suns, who are breathing down your neck for getting out of the play-in tournament, and then you have the Magic, who you just lost to this past week, and then you have the Spurs, who are playing much better basketball with Victor Wembanyama starting to kind of come into his own form. Yeah, it is the toughest stretch of the season.
Crunch time, baby.
Most important time. So, yeah, I'm looking forward. We're going to be talking with Kurt Heatland in just a little bit, lead NBA writer and managing editor for NBC Sports. I'm really looking forward to talking to him, previewing that stretch. As I said in the triple option segment there, Steve, 3-3, I'd be okay with. Anything worse, you're really kind of risking falling into the play-in tournament as the 7th seed potentially. So we'll have to see. I mean, it's a super important stretch, as I mentioned, probably the most important of the entire season.
Yesterday, Zion Williamson put up 36 points in the Pels win, 114-101 in Detroit. Here's what the Big Z had to say after the game.
You've talked a lot about the growing chemistry between you and B.I. Now in his absence, what's the chemistry like between you and C.J.?
Me and C.J., we got great chemistry, especially from last season. You know, we're there. When I talk about that chemistry, it's when all three of us are out there, and I think we're in a great spot with that. But me and CJ, we're good.
What do you think he brings to the squad when he's in that aggressive mode, especially offensively?
Scoring. And I think that's just naturally, like, who he is. But CJ's such a great teammate and a great leader that, you know, when the team asks him, when coaches ask him to facilitate, he'll do that. But I want CJ like, hey, man, cut that out. I need you to score. He's been doing it.
11 games left to go. Do you have any personal goals for yourself or for the team that you want the squad to fine tune heading into the postseason?
My answer is always going to be the same. I want to win. The coaches, my teammates, the organization, we all have the same mindset. We just want to win.
How important is home court advantage potentially in the first round for you guys?
If we can get it, you know, that'd be great. It'd be great for the city and, you know, great for the team. But, you know, you got to play the cards dealt to you. So wherever we land in the standings, we're going to make the most of it.
Willie said a couple minutes ago that you've been stacking days, you know, stacking great days, being more available. How do you feel, you know, physically, and what your approach has been over the past maybe couple of months when you've really wrapped up your play?
I feel great. And I'm having fun. And in terms of stacking my days, it's just doing all the little things. Recovery, extra recovery, conditioning and extra conditioning. And then more in practice, just bringing a high intensity so that my body can be used to that.
What type of luxury is it to have her one side, Trey on the other side defensively, where you guys can just switch on a lot of different things and cover each other up? You know what I mean?
It's great. You haven't heard? Oh, Herb's the word. Instead of check. Herb, what he brings to this team, I don't think it'll show up on the stat sheet. The same for Murph. Even when Murph isn't really having a great shooting night, that doesn't mean his defense is going to lack. And we have this great chemistry as a team where we play for each other.
That's Zion Williamson talking post-game about the Pelicans' 114-101 win in Detroit. And you heard it there. Herb is the word. Yes, indeed. Pels again pushing out some content on social media, boosting Herb for first-team all-defensive team. And, man, oh, man, I'm hoping that, along with a nice playoff run, comes into fruition for this season, Charlie.
I want to say it was Jake Madison. I'm trying to remember which Pelicans guest we had on a couple weeks ago. Then we were talking about Herb Jones finally making an NBA all-defensive team. And they're just like, if he's not a first-team all-NBA defensive player, it's a crime. Like, he's been so good on that side of the ball this year. And as Zion mentioned, the length of Herb and Trey Murphy. I'm a Pelicans fan, and I'm a longtime Pels fan. I remember times where the Pelicans could never find a forward. They can never find a three, and now they have a bunch of them, and it is so, like, awesome to see. Like, I remember Quincy Pondexter, Steve. We were hoping that he would be, like, the answer at three during the Anthony Davis era. Now we have Herb, who's an All-NBA defensive team member. We have Trey Murphy, who can hit 6 to 10 three-point shots on any given night. And then Brandon Ingram was obviously injured, but he is a star at the three. So, yeah, I mean, it's great to see how they've developed around Zion, who is – as you mentioned, he's feeling great. He's healthy. And, I mean, once again, going back to what I mentioned in the triple option segment, a 36.7 rebound, 6 assist game against the Detroit Pistons on Sunday. He's the second player with a 35-5-5 game on 90% field goal percentage. He was 13-14 in that game, Steve, in the last 50 years, joining one Nikola Jokic. That's how awesome Zion is. When he's healthy and he's feeling good, and as he's mentioned, he's gearing up for this playoff push in the final 11 games. I can't wait to see what he does against some elite competition down the stretch.
What I love, too, obviously, right now, he's feeling it. You can tell the way he's been moving on the court, way he's been performing, the huge smile. I just love to see it because I feel like he's one of those dudes that when he is happy and that smile seems to brighten up the entire team, the entire room, you could say. We're going to take a break. When we get back, we'll talk more Pelicans and get into the Western Conference even with Pro Basketball Talk's Kurt Hellen right after this here on WWL. Be right back.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Get ready, folks. Tomorrow, we're going to have LSU baseball for you. The Tigers taking on Southeastern, looking for a bounce back after a tough weekend at the box. Hopefully, they can rebound against Southeastern. That's a 6:30 first pitch you can catch tomorrow right here on WWL and the Odyssey app. Also in action tomorrow, the Pelicans back home for a few after going through a road trip. Won their last two games. Happy to welcome in now Kurt Hellen from ProBasketballTalk.com. How have you been, Kurt?
I'm pretty good, man. I cover basketball for a living. Like, how bad can my life be? It's all good here.
I love something you had posted earlier about Mike Greenberg talking about UConn being able to make the playoffs in the NBA's Eastern Conference. I feel like we go through this almost yearly with different sports. You know, Alabama could beat some NFL team. And I don't know why people continue with this take when you realize it's like there's a bunch of professional athletes. A group of them is going to be much better than a collegiate team. And no matter how good that collegiate team may be, how many number one prospects you have, to me, the whole notion is pretty ridiculous.
You're spot on. It's just ridiculous across sports, right? UConn has 3, maybe 4 NBA level players on their roster. By definition, the Washington Wizards, the worst team in the NBA, have 15. The level of talent is different. The level of execution that comes with that is different. But it, like I've said, like you just said, I mean, man, There have been some great LSU football teams. They're not beating an NFL team. They're just not. They're like, it's just, it's an across the board different level of play. And that's true, you know, we're talking about the NHL, hockey, or, you know, soccer or whatever. Doesn't matter.
Kurt, the other night we got a big scare here for the Pelicans when Brandon Ingram went down with a knee issue. Luckily, we're hoping it's only going to be 2 weeks, maybe a little bit longer. It's not a season-ending deal. But where do you see this team being able to survive, I guess, these last 11 games without him?
This is where that wing depth with you know, look, you've been bringing Trey Jones off the bench. You can slide him in, and he's a very different player, obviously. But with him and Herb Jones out there, suddenly you've got really good defense on the wings. You can, you know, you're asking a little more. But on a team without a traditional point guard, it hurts to lose Brandon Ingram's shot creation. But, you know, look, you've still got Zion. You've still got CJ. You've got guys who can do it. You're going to have to, you know, be smart about your sets. But they will be good enough to survive. And, you know, I don't know if they're going to climb up to three. That might be a big ask. The bigger concern is just holding on to either climbing up to four and getting that home court in the first round, which the way the Clippers are playing is possible. The Clippers have been disinterested in playing good basketball for a few weeks now. And also avoiding, like, anybody. Dallas is starting to play really well. You want to make sure that they don't sneak past you. So I think they've got it, but I think they should be able to get enough wins, even though, as you were just mentioning, they come home. But the next two and a half weeks of the schedule is pretty brutal.
Oh, easily. I mean, Kurt, that's kind of what we were talking about in the first segment here before we brought you on, is the next six games, it's all at home at the Smoothie King Center, where the Pelicans have been okay. They haven't been great at home. I mean, this is the most important stretch of the season, given the timing of it.
Yeah.
And if you're looking at the standings right now, the Pelicans have a two-game lead on the Suns for the sixth spot, and then a two-and-a-half-game lead on the Kings and the Mavericks for the play-in tournament. So obviously, if you're a Pelicans fan, you want to at least get a top six seed. I mean, even looking past potentially getting the four if the Clippers continue to slip up. If you're looking at right now, the last couple games, all those teams are on winning streaks. So the Pelicans really can't afford to fall apart over this six-game stretch. And once again, we'll get into it here. The Thunder, the Bucks, the Celtics, the Suns, and the Magic, and the Spurs. Before I kind of get into a game-by-game breakdown with you about it, what do you think the Pelicans need to go in that six-game stretch at home to kind of stay afloat and stay out of the play-in tournament?
I think 3-3 is a reasonable thing through that stretch, just because that's some really good teams coming in. I mean, we don't see a lot of Orlando, but you guys just saw them last week. Like, and they beat you. Like, that's a good team. And, you know, the Thunder and Bucks are obviously at the top of their conferences. So if you can get through that 3-3, and even the Spurs, we're kind of like, yeah, they're terrible. And they kind of are, except they got Wemby and, frankly, in addition to Devin Vassell, they've got a couple of guys who can make life difficult. And you're going to have to put together a good game. But I think if you get through there 3-3, they've got every team left has 10 to 12 games. There's not a lot of time to catch up. If you can just keep your head above water, as well as some of those teams you're playing, there's just not going to be enough time.
And then so now we're getting down to game by game. I want to get your breakdown of the matchup against the Thunder. The Pelicans welcomed the Thunder to town in late January. It was actually part of the same three-game stretch that they're going to have now this upcoming week with the Thunder and then the Bucks and then the Celtics. And that game against the Thunder, they got blown out at home, but they didn't have Zion Williamson in that game. They're 1-1 against OKC. They won in Oklahoma City with Zion playing. And the way that he's been playing right now, I think he's going to be a big difference maker for that game. But Oklahoma City, there's a reason they're 49-21. They're a half game back of the first place in the Western Conference. I just want to get your breakdown of this game.
You know what's fascinating about the Western Conference, and I think this is true for the, especially if it ends up being the 4-5 matchup against the Clippers, like it looks like it probably will be, is the West is so about matchups. And I think you guys can give the Thunder some trouble. They have obviously great skill. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander is going to finish top two in MVP voting, probably second, but he's going to be, I mean, he's just been phenomenal this season. And his complete game and ability to kind of do it, it's kind of weird. He starts up top. He doesn't really get wide. He kind of does it going north-south. He's fantastic. They've got shooters everywhere. They've got real talent. The one thing you can do, though, is you can bully them. It's why the Lakers have given them trouble. If you're physical, you can push them around a little bit. And I think that's where Oklahoma City comes in. You know, they've got good defenders like Lou Dort and on down the line, frankly. But they don't have anybody who can physically match up necessarily well with Zion. And if some guys can knock down some shots around him, you can push them around.
And then moving on to the two top Eastern Conference opponents, as I mentioned, the Bucks and the Celtics. The Bucks have been decent in the last 10. I mean, the Celtics are on another nine-game winning streak. They're going to finish with well over 65 wins this season. They're the best team in the NBA. But before getting to that, your thoughts on the Bucks? I think is technically a winnable game for the Pelicans. I think the Celtics, however, it's going to be really tough.
Yeah, well, I'm with you. On the Celtics, just quickly, they are the best team in the NBA during the regular season. I think Denver beat them a couple of weeks ago, gives them some matchup problems because, you know, that Jokic guy turns out to be pretty good. But Milwaukee, on the other hand, is beatable right now. Even though there's moments where it comes together for them and they look great, that's not consistent for them. And they're still trying to figure out how to make Giannis Antetokounmpo and Damian Lillard play off each other and get comfortable with each other. And now Chris Middleton's back, which they need, but now you're fitting a third guy into that mix. And they just don't defend consistently. Some of the stuff that built them to a championship level, as talented as they are, they're beatable on a given night if they're not focused and click. I don't know, focused isn't the right word. They just don't execute on a night-to-night basis like you think they should at this point in the season. And that's been one thing that Willie Green has gotten the Pelicans doing, right? I mean, they're executing night in and night out.
And then kind of wrapping up this stretch, I want to get to the Suns real quick as well. I think if you were going to ask me what are the most important games of this six-game homestand, it's the Thunder and the Suns. Like, you can lose the Bucks and Celtics. That would be understandable. But those top Western Conference playoff teams, this is your first kind of look at them before the playoffs start in a few weeks. You got to show out. And the Pelicans, they had a loss to the Suns a couple months ago that just was really, really ugly. And they'll definitely be looking for a bounce back. Devin Booker was on fire in that game. And they'll obviously need to take down a Suns squad that's been pretty up and down.
And that's the danger of them. I picked the Suns before the season to be the Western Conference finalists, and I have sprained my ankle jumping off that bandwagon. They're not good enough defensively. They're not going to string together games. But on a given night, what makes them dangerous is that they have Devin Booker and Kevin Durant and Bradley Beal and three guys who can win you a game by themselves on a night. And so you've got to really play good defense. I think the depth of defense with Herb Jones, with everybody on the Pelicans makes them, like, for the same reason they match up well with the Clippers and their three guys, this is a good matchup for them as much as it gets there, but you just have to hope one of those guys doesn't go off. But you were spot on about that. If there's one game in this series stretch you've got to have, it's this one. That's the one circled on the calendar.
You talked about Herb Jones. Obviously, we love that guy down here. He's been so crucial for this Pelicans team. We even say he might be the MVP of the roster this year. The Pel's really pushing for him to be first team all defense. Think it's deserved so. What's it going to take, though, for Herb to make the first all defensive team?
Can I be honest? I am a voter. I find way more than all NBA how I'm going to deal with all defense in the new NBA system where it's the positionless much more difficult because I want to put Herb Jones in. I want to put Jalen Suggs from Orlando, who you guys saw a few nights ago and is a fantastic defender, Alex Caruso with the Bucks. But I could put those three guys and seven centers in and call it good because centers just tend to impact your defense more. And so I think part of it's going to be that they can do the marketing they want, but I think it's going to be how voters ultimately come to try to balance the weirdness of that. And I'll be honest with you, as a voter, I'm not totally sure how I'm going to do it yet. I'm actually talking to people because I'm like, you don't want to list 10 centers. That's boring, and it's not really what basketball is. And it does, I don't want to leave out guys like Herb Jones, who he's blocked. Well, I think he's blocked 14 threes this season, which is just a ridiculous number, and his contest rate is fantastic. Like, those guys need to be rewarded too. So I think you promote it and you try to get it out there and you talk about it, and that's the best you can do, because I think with this new system, there's a lot of us voters trying to – it's a little easier with all NBA where you're just picking the 15 – it's like easier, 15 best players. Like players 14 and player 16 are really different at different levels. But it's harder, I think, with defense just not having positions to fall back on.
Yeah, I think that's an interesting point, Kurt, because I mean, you're looking at center, right? And obviously Rudy Gobert is probably going to win his, you know, what is it, fourth now Defensive Player of the Year award. But also another guy that's going to be a first-team All-NBA defensive player, and he's another center, the rookie that's the last team on this homestand, is Victor Wembanyama and the Spurs. Yeah. And, you know, I think that it's an interesting conversation about, you know, Wimby's candidacy for Defensive Player of the Year as a rookie just because he's got ridiculous numbers, and the Spurs defense with him versus without him on the floor is just night and day.
Yeah.
Versus, you know, Gobert's, he's been there, done that, and also the Timberwolves have the best defensive rating of any team in the NBA, which is why he's going to end up winning it. But at the same time, Wembanyama deserves a first-team All-NBA defensive team nomination as well, despite playing on such a bad defense, and he's also a center.
It's hard. When I first started putting together that list, you know, my just rough draft in pencil list for that, and also Defensive Player of the Year, the first three names that popped in my head were Gobert, Bam Adebayo, Anthony Davis, and then Wembanyama was in. And so that's where I was at. I'm like, I'm four guys deep, and I haven't gotten to a position other than center yet. And then that comes back to the balance thing. But he changes the geometry of the court, doesn't he? Like the stuff you thought you could get away with. And there's a great, if you can find the clip online, there's a great clip where they played Memphis the other day, and he was the only guy back, running back. And this Memphis guard starts driving on the in transition, looks up and goes, peels off and goes, no, I'm not getting shut down. Kicks it to the trailer, who decides to drive the lane. And Wemby just kind of turns and gets in his way. And that guy goes, nah, I'm not getting blocked. And they both peel off, and they end up having to set up a whole half-court set just because he intimidates guys. It's just – he's going to have some incredible block records by the time his career is over.
He's an alien. Like, isn't he? He's just a freak of nature. Like, I can't even use a different term to describe him. And the fact that he's on a Spurs team that's really bad right now, but once they get some pieces around him, he's going to be a terror for that Southwest division with our Pelicans.
Yeah, you know, he is going to be, and it's funny. You think, well, they're kind of like Oklahoma City. They can take a couple years and build this thing. He's getting so good so fast that, like, the value of their own draft picks goes down because he's going to will them or just play them to too good a record. You're not going to get, and this is not considered a deep draft. 2025 is considered a deep draft with some really great guys at the top, and they're not going to be in it because he's going to win them too many games next year.
And then you mentioned youth, and I want to go back to the Thunder real quick. I think I saw a stat that like their average age of their starting lineups actually just younger than the UNC starting lineup right now in March Madness and college basketball. How kind of concerned are you about that youth once it comes to playoff time and the pressure just ramps up, intensifies?
Yeah. I can tell you that there are firsthand that there are teams who would like if you're going to face one of the top three, if you're going to get Minnesota, Denver, or OKC, the Thunder are the team everybody wants. A, because like I said, there's a strategy for them. If you can be physical, you can push them around. You certainly can't do that with Denver, and frankly, you can't do that with Minnesota with Gobert and if Towns is back. But even without him, Naz Reid and Anthony Edwards, like they're a strong, physically strong team. But I am a believer that you have to learn how to win at the NBA level. And these guys, even Shea Gilgeous-Alexander, just they don't have the experience yet. In a couple of years, watch out. But right now, I think that they're going to learn hard lessons this year about the value of every possession in the postseason and how the intensity in the matchups are just different.
Kurt, always appreciate the time for you. Thank you so much. And hoping that the Pacers can do us a favor tonight and beat the Clippers in L.A.
We got a couple games we got to keep an eye on tonight, Steve.
I will tell you, I was at the Clipper game yesterday, and they forgot to set their alarms or something for that afternoon. It is weird to watch a team think they can just flip a switch like that. That should be the best, so much better than that. They're not good.
Always appreciate you, Kurt. Thank you, and be talking to you soon.
Take care, man.
Thanks, Kurt.
Kurt Hellen, the lead NBA writer and managing editor of NBCSports.com. You can see his work there at Pro Basketball Talk. We'll be right back with more sports talk after this. Get into some audio from Mickey Loomis, who spoke at the NFL meetings today. Just got it hot off the press. We'll play it for you right here on WWL. Welcome back into Sports Talk. Saints Executive Vice President and General Manager Mickey Loomis spoke today at the annual league meetings going on. Want to get right into it? Here's what Loomis had to say.
Can we start with Chase Young and why you guys felt like he was maybe the rest of the
He's a good player, and we had an opportunity to sign a good player. You know, it's a good opportunity for both of us, really.
He's had a pretty interesting career in terms of just, like, you know, the really strong first season. He's had some injuries since.
Yeah.
How do you feel kind of about his health?
Yeah, I mean, listen, we did all our due diligence. We were aware that, he was going to need some work, and we're optimistic about that. He's a wonderful talent, had a great first season, and then he's had some injuries to deal with. He's a young player still with a lot of desire. I'm excited to have him. We're excited to have him.
I was going
to
say, when you watched him, like, could you see the neck affect him at all?
Yeah, I wouldn't say that we did, no. I wouldn't say there was anything that, you would watch and say, oh, wow, look at that. So that wasn't the case at all.
Is kind of the idea this offseason and you mentioned this at the combine, are you guys really going through that process of trying to get a little bit of cleaner cap?
Yeah, absolutely.
Moves kind of telling the same story?
I think we've, we're in that mode right now. We've got to, recover from some of the things that happened with COVID and the contracts that we did in the past. And so not as active in free agency maybe as you'd like to be at times. And look, I think we're probably going to be in that mode for another year or so.
That's kind of the realistic timetables, maybe this year and next year, and then you're kind of where you want to be?
Yeah, hopefully, yeah. Again, that part of that depends upon how we perform, how players perform, how our team performs, what the cap is. There's a lot of variables that go with that. So, yeah, we got to get our plan back on pace. And it was knocked off pace by COVID and the reduction in the cap and all the things that came with it.
But you guys used to approach the offseason with the wants and needs. Where are you in that process?
Yeah, we're in the middle of it. Yeah, we got the must wants and needs, and we've got some of it taken care of, and there's still free agency still going on. We have an opportunity during this draft to add some players, and then there's always the trade route as well. So we'll leave no stone unturned.
How does Chase factor into how you kind of view the pass catching group as a whole?
I think that we're kind of excited about that group. We've got a good mix of veterans and young players and guys that we have high expectations for. And what's really exciting is that we have a lot of guys that have high expectations for themselves. So we'll see how that goes.
What does the addition of Willie Gay Jr. do to the defense?
Yeah, listen, he's a good player. I think he's going to push our guys. He's going to be competing. He's going to have an opportunity to play a lot of downs for us. And particularly with Zach Bond moving on to another team, we had a need there. And so we've got a group of guys that we like. Led by DeMario, and so I would say that was a good addition.
And how important was it to get contract renegotiations done with guys like DeMario?
Yeah, but they're important because A, of our cap situation, and B, because we're trying to manage all this together. It allows us to keep our group together, allows us to manage our way out of the cap situation and remain competitive. And so all of it's connected.
With the way you guys went about that, or when you talk about like cleaning the cap, like Tyron's deal, for instance, mm-hmm. adding on that extra year but kind of lowering the salary, is that kind of
maybe? Well, it's all part of it. All these things are not independent of each other. They're all connected. It's a big puzzle, and that's what makes it complicated. Any one of these individual deals are not complicated, but piecing it all together and having it planned out for a period of time, 2 and 3 years out, that's what gets complicated.
Mickey, what do you think about the competition passing the rule on the hip drop?
Yeah, look, I think it was necessary. We understand the play and understand how devastating it can be in terms of injury, so I understand it. Understand why we need to get it out of the game.
I know Riz has been doing a lot of work on the kickoff.
Yeah, he sure has.
Yeah. How would that change things if that gets passed? Like, does that change anything with how you build special teams?
Yeah, it's a good question. And I think that's part of the equation here is and we don't have all the answers to that because we haven't seen it. We haven't really seen it in our league yet. So how does that change the makeup of your roster? I don't think it's going to be real significant, but it'll be, there'll be some tweaks. And look, we support that change. I think, we need to do something to get the kickoff back in the game. And I think this is a viable solution. We'll see if it gets voted in or not, but I think the kickoff's one of the most exciting plays in our game. And so when you're down to, only getting 20% of the kickoff's return, then, we need to do something.
Saints Executive Vice President and General Manager Mickey Loomis talking there to the media at the owners' meetings. I thought it was interesting. Obviously, he was asked about Chase Young and brought up the depth, you could say, at the defensive end spot right now with Cam Jordan, Chase Young, Tano Passanio, Brian Brzee, you could put in the mix. Carl Granderson, Peyton Turner, Isaiah Foskey. Definitely interested to see how that shakes out and if this team will end up drafting a defensive end. I think the Chase Young addition kind of takes them out of that, at least in the early rounds for me.
I don't know. It's going to be interesting to see. Like Mike said that he expects Dallas Turner and Jared Verse to each go in the top 13. Mm-hmm. And if that's the case, it takes you out of drafting a defensive end. But if one of them is there, that could be best player available at pick 14.
We're going to take a break. Be right back. Closing things out here on Sports Talk. Getting ready for the Jay Johnson Show right here on WWL. The Jay Johnson Show coming up at 7 o'clock right here on WWL and the Odyssey app. Tomorrow on WWL and the Odyssey app, we will have LSU taking on Southeastern. And man, oh man, that's a feisty Lions squad. They're 17-7 on the season right now. Tigers 19-6 overall. I don't know if we even want to look at that SEC record right now, though, huh, Charlie?
2-4.
Yeah, not pretty.
I mean, you got to say it. It's what it is. And it doesn't get easier. You go to Arkansas, you're facing the best rotation in the country.
Yeah.
And then you come back home and you face number 3 Vanderbilt, who I think actually stumbled this past weekend. If I'm not mistaken, I think they actually got swept, which is just life in the SEC, by the way, because they were on like a 14-game winning streak heading into it. And then you go on the road again, and you head to Knoxville, and you face a really good Tennessee squad. So they got to get it going at some point. I think confidence is a big issue with LSU baseball right now. And if they start winning some games, like if they can string together somehow and get 2 games in Arkansas this weekend, I think that would be huge for confidence boosting.
Yeah, you mentioned that. I had to look it up real quick. Vandy got swept at South Carolina this weekend.
Yeah, I mean, they were 3-0 in conference play before that. They swept their first series. So, things can change quickly in the SEC.
Oh, yeah.
So if you can go to Fayetteville and get 2 or 3, which we talked with Blake Ruffino, is a lot easier said than done based off of how well Arkansas has been playing this season. Like, you feel great about it.
I know at this point I'm like, shoot, can they win 1 game in Arkansas?
Well, that's the thing. It's like, this is a national championship team, a defending champions. Their back is against the wall. Go get it done. Like, if you're Arkansas, I don't think you want to be playing this LSU team right now. Yes, they're slumping, but they're going to be desperate
right,
for some wins in
Fayetteville. A wounded tiger is a dangerous tiger.
Yes, they need some wins in Fayetteville this weekend, so we'll see what happens.
Closing things out on Sports Talk, thanks for tuning in. Next up, Jay Johnson Show right here on WWL and the Odyssey app. Have a great Monday night, everyone. Who dat?
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.